إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of the unique actions of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in exclusion to all other ummas before us is the action of wudu, the action of performing ablution. And in fact, if you think about it, this action of wudu was the very first ritual that our Prophet Muhammad ever performed as a prophet, as a Muslim. How so? Because on the second day after Surah Al-Muddathir was revealed, right after Allah revealed, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Qum Fa'anzir, right after he understood he's a prophet, we learned that Jibreel came down and taught him about the five salawat, and he taught him how to do wudu and at what timings to pray. Now it is true that the five salawat were ordained for the rest of the ummah in Isra wal Mi'raj. This is true. But for him sallallahu alayhi wasallam and for the early Muslims as a nafila, as a choice, the salah and therefore the wudu was legislated from the very beginning of Islam. And that is why we have the commandments to pray in the early Meccan surahs, even before prayer became wajib for the rest of the Muslims. They were still commanded to pray generically. And as for our Prophet ﷺ, he was told to pray exactly when we are praying the five daily salawat. And Jibreel taught him how to do wudu. He demonstrated for him how wudu is done. And then our Prophet ﷺ followed him in that procedure. And therefore today's khutbah is a brief reminder for me and for all of you of the blessings that Allah has given us through this simple ritual. Why should we be so concerned about it? After today's khutbah, believe you me, it will be one of the highlights of your day to stand in front of that sink and do wudu. It will be one of the highlights of your daily routine to wash and cleanse yourselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's short khutbah, we're going to summarize the blessings of wudu and some simple fiqh as well that we should be familiar with as we do the wudu. And realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that there are quite literally dozens of ahadith, and we don't have time in one khutbah to do all of them. But insha'Allah ta'ala, it will be as comprehensive as possible. In one hadith, doing wudu has been mentioned as one of the pillars of Islam. In fact, in the famous hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him, what is Islam? We all know the famous response, and that is he gave the five pillars. There are other versions as well where other phrases are mentioned. And in one of these versions, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, when Jibreel said, what is Islam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a longer list, not just five. And included in that list, وَأَن تَغْتَسِلَ مِنَ الْجَنَابَةِ وَأَن تُسْبِغَ الْوُضُوءِ, that you do ghusl in the state of janaba, this is a part of Islam, and that you perfect your wudu, narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah. So in this hadith, doing wudu is listed as one of the arkan of the religion of Islam, one of the pillars of being a Muslim. And Jibreel then asked him at the end of this, if I do all of these things, will I then be a Muslim? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, if you do these things, you will be a Muslim. And included in that is the aspect of doing wudu. The concept of doing wudu, our Prophet ﷺ told us in the famous hadith that we memorized as children, At-tahuru shatrul iman, cleanliness is half of faith. Now this translation is correct. However, in the language of the Sharia, tahur primarily applies to doing wudu. And therefore, if this hadith were to be translated that doing wudu is half of iman, it would actually be more accurate. At-tahur, doing wudu and ghusl, because that is what tahara is in Islam. In Islam, tahara means you do wudu, you do ghusl. When the Prophet is saying, at-tahuru shatrul iman, we translate it as cleanliness is half of faith. This is not wrong. But the more appropriate translation, the Islamic concept of tahara revolves around the ghusl and the wudu. And therefore, to translate this hadith as doing wudu and also doing ghusl is half of iman, this is actually a more appropriate translation. And in fact, the other half of iman would then be the prayer. The other half of iman would be the action of prayer. And to underscore this point, in one version of this hadith, in one version of the same hadith that tahur is half of iman, what is mentioned is isbaghul wudu'i min shatril iman. Perfecting the wudu is half of faith. So the Prophet actually said the exact phrase, perfecting wudu is half of faith. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, he who does not have wudu, or do wudu, or perfect wudu, has not fulfilled even the bare minimum of Islam, even half of Islam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to do wudu throughout the day. In one hadith he said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالْوُضُوءِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ. Were it not for the fact that I know my ummah would have found it difficult, I would have commanded them to do wudu every time they pray. Now we know we don't have to do wudu every time we pray if we have wudu from the previous salah. If we have wudu, we did wudu at dhuhr time, time for asr comes, we don't have to do it again. But what did our Prophet ﷺ say? Were it not for the fact that it would be too difficult, I would have commanded my ummah to do wudu every time they stand up to pray. And this shows us he's encouraging us. He's encouraging us that even if you have wudu, go ahead and do it again, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with that. Our Prophet ﷺ told us that doing wudu cleanses us from our daily sins. In one very beautiful hadith, our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes to his chamber of water, his water bucket, in our case, whoever goes to the sink, whoever goes to his pot of water, intending to do wudu, then as he washes his hands, all of the sins of his hands will fall down. With the first drop that comes, all of the sins will fall down. Then when he takes water and puts it in his mouth, then all of the sins of his mouth and his tongue and his speech will be expelled with the first drop of water as it is expelled. Then when he washes his face, then all of the sins of his eyes and his ear, sam'ahu wa basarahu, will be expelled with the very first of drop of water that is expelled from his face. Then as he washes his limbs, he will only increase in expelling his sins, until finally the Prophet ﷺ said, when he washes his feet and he completes the wudu, he shall be cleansed of every sin as if it is the day that his mother gave birth to him. In other words, one wudu, if you do it properly, one wudu will cause all of these sins to be forgiven. Then he said, and then when he stands up to pray, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise his ranks even more. Narrated by Musnad Imam Ahmad, and it is an authentic hadith. Now, our scholars point out that these traditions should be understood as purifying what is called the minor sins, what is called the saga'ir. As for the major sins, the kaba'ir, these need to be repented from, and then the good deeds only add to the excellence of repentance. But a kabira, a major sin, such as drinking, such as fornication, such as drugs, these are the major sins. Murder, simply doing wudu will not wash murder away. Wudu will cleanse the minor sins. You know, the white lies, we might say, the zina of the eyes. This is what the wudu will wipe away. So much so that you will be purified. As for the major sins need to be repented from. And this is proven in another hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, the five prayers and Ramadan to the next Ramadan and each Umrah to the next Umrah will be a cleanliness and a forgiveness for all that is between them, as long as the major sins are avoided. So the five prayers, and of course, wudu is a prerequisite to the five prayers. And therefore, you can say doing the wudu regularly will cleanse all of your sins. But then the Prophet ﷺ added, as long as the major sins are avoided. As for the major sins, obviously, simply doing wudu will not cleanse you of a major sin. But this is something that only increases the perfection of repentance. And doing wudu, our Prophet ﷺ told us that the difference between the true believer and the weak or mediocre believer is the quantity of wudu, is the wudu that they perfect. In one beautiful hadith, which is a very profound hadith, and an entire khutbah can be given just on this one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Saddidu wa qaribu, wa alamu anna khayra a'malikum as-salah, wa lan yuhafid ala wudu'ihi illa mu'min." Saddidu wa qaribu. Overlook mistakes and come as close as you can to perfection. You're not going to be perfect. Saddidu means overlook any faults. Qaribu means come as close as you can to be good. Do what you can to avoid the sins. Do what you can to do the wajibat, to do the what Allah has told you to do. And know that the best deed you can ever do is the salah. But then what is the key to salah? Wudu. So what did he say right after that? And know that nobody will protect his wudu except a true believer. لَنْ يُحَافِضَ عَلَى وُضُوءِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. What does it mean nobody will protect his wudu? It means the mu'min, and the mu'min is a higher level than Muslim, the mu'min will always want to be in the state of wudu. The mu'min, whenever he breaks his wudu, he wants to do it again, even if he doesn't have to pray. But he feels purity in being in the state of wudu. And so our Prophet ﷺ gave us that encouragement, that you want to raise yourself to a higher level, protect the element of wudu. And he also told us that on the Day of Judgment, the wudu will beautify the one who has perfected it. The one who does wudu, it will be shown through his beauty on the Day of Judgment. In a famous hadith narrated in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَبْلُغُ الْحِلْيَةُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ حَيْثُ يَبْلُغُ الْوُضُوء. تَبْلُغُ الْحِلْيَةُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Hilya is decoration. Hilya is beauty. The beauty of the believer will be shown and demonstrated wherever the wudu was perfected. This is on the Day of Judgment. The beauty of the believer, or the decoration of the believer. The hilya is the adornment, the beauty. How will the believer be beautified on that day? There will be light coming from those limbs of wudu. And wherever were the limbs of wudu, that is where the hilya, or the decoration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be coming from the body, from the limbs of the one who did wudu. In another hadith, our Prophet ﷺ told us that doing one wudu perfectly will allow all of the doors of Jannah to be open for us. And what does it mean the doors of Jannah are open? It means Jannah is waiting. Just as soon as we die, khalas, we can go to Jannah. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever perfects his wudu, perfects, and this is an important point, isbaghul wudu, and we'll talk about this later on, what is perfection? Whoever perfects his wudu, and then he says the dhikr that is supposed to be said, and that is that ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, that Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin. If you make this dua properly, our Prophet ﷺ said, all eight doors of Jannah will be flung open for him. Just after one wudu and after saying one dhikr in a proper manner. And this shows us how much beloved is wudu, even to Jannah. Jannah opens up its gates waiting for the one who has done wudu. And perhaps the single most important blessing that we should truly appreciate and want to achieve for those who do wudu is the blessing of being recognized on the Day of Judgment by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the mechanism of wudu. The only way that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will recognize his ummah will be through the effects of wudu. The Prophet ﷺ said, this hadith is, by the way, mutawatir. It is narrated by more than 12 sahaba. It's narrated in all the books of hadith. And it is, wallahi, one of the most beautiful hadith about wudu. And it is a hadith that every time you stand up to do wudu, you should put it in your head so that you will perfect your wudu. And the hadith is in many different forms. We'll mention only two of them. The one of them is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaq alayh, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ أُمَّتِي يَأْتُونَ غُرًّا مُحَجَّلِينَ مِنْ آثَارِ الْوُضُوءِ. My ummah will come. Then he used two words that are used to describe typically horses. Ghurran muhajjalin. From the effects of the wudu. What is ghur and what is muhajjalin? Ghurra is a horse that has a white streak on its forehead. And not just the Arabs, we as humans, even though I am not a horse person, nor the most of us here into horses, but when you see a horse that has that white streak going down its face, you feel that this is a very beautiful horse. This is a horse that is worth more than other horses. This is what ghurra means. And then muhajjal means those white streaks are going down the limbs of the horses. And so the most prized horses of the Arabs, and of course the most prized horses are Arabian horses, even to this day in the world, the most prized horses are Arabian horses. And amongst the Arabian horses, the most prized horses were the ones that were ghur and muhajjal. And the Prophet ﷺ said, my ummah will come ghurran muhajjalina min atharid wudu. Their faces will be shining bright and their limbs will be shining bright from the effects of wudu. So, Abu Hurairah, when he would narrate this hadith to his students, he would tell them, so whoever amongst you can prolong or make the beauty of the shining more, let him do so. فَمَنْ اسْتَطَعَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever can make the beauty more, let him do so. And that is why Abu Hurairah would have a strange action when he did wudu. And he knew this isn't sunnah, but when he did wudu, he would actually do wudu all the way to the armpits. Not just to the elbow. He would do wudu all the way to the armpits. And one day somebody saw him doing this. And he said, what is this? So Abu Hurairah turned around. He saw this man looking at him. He said, if I knew you were looking, I wouldn't do this. Because I don't want you to think this is sunnah. If I knew you were looking, I wouldn't do this. But I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that my ummah will come ghur and muhajjalin on the day of judgment. So I want to make my beauty longer. I want to make it all the way to my hand. Now this is his ijtihad. This is his opinion, and no doubt the sunnah is to stick with the sunnah, and that is to go to the elbows. But the point is, look at the love of Abu Hurairah, that I want to be recognized. I want to be known, stand out on the day of judgment by perfecting my wudu. And in a very beautiful hadith narrated in Sahih Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, how I wish I could see my brothers. Ikhwani. How I wish I could see my brothers. The Sahaba said, Alasna ikhwanaka ya Rasulullah? Aren't we your brothers, O Rasulullah? He said, La bal antum ashabi. No, you are not my ikhwan, you are my ashab. You are the Sahaba. So they said, who are your ikhwan? Man ikhwanuk? So he said, ikhwani, my brothers, are those who will come after me and they have never seen me and yet they still love me. Now, the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, how will you recognize your ikhwan when you have never seen them? How will you recognize them? And they are so many in number. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, imagine if one of you had a whole team of camels, sorry, a whole team of horses, group of horses, a whole team of horses. All of them ghurran muhajjalin. Now pause here. Generally, one horse out of like 500 is ghur muhajjalin. This is like the most prize. Only one horse out of 500 or 1,000 will be both ghur and muhajjal. So the Prophet said, imagine you had a whole team of horses. All of them are ghurran muhajjalin. That's like you have the cream of the crop. Then they were intermixed with a group of horses that are all black and all brown, i.e. the standard horses of one color. Could you not tell your horses apart from those other horses? And the Sahaba said, Bala ya Rasulullah, of course. So then he said, then my ummah shall come ghurran muhajjalin from the effects of the wudu. This is how I will tell my ummah on the day of judgment. That they will come ghurran muhajjalin from the effects of the wudu. So subhanallah, this hadith is telling us that on that day, all of mankind will be the color of their skins. Whatever it was, there's not going to be any light coming from them. But the Muslims will be the only ummah. There shall be a divine light emanating from the limbs that did wudu merely because those limbs did wudu. And therefore, anybody who did wudu shall be recognized by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter what era they lived in, no matter what time frame, no matter where, which geographic location, wherever a person lived at whatever time frame, if he continuously did wudu on the day of judgment, our Prophet sallallahu will recognize him amongst all of the millions of people. And it is that will be your ticket and my ticket, insha'Allah ta'ala, to drink from the fountain of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because that fountain, that hawd, who does it belong to? Who does it belong to? It belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu. Who can drink from it? Only the one whom the owner of the fountain allows you to drink from that fountain. That well, that hawd, you need permission to drink from it. If you're not given permission, you will not drink from it. Well then, how will you get that permission when the Prophet sallallahu has not seen me and seen you? The only method of recognizing us is the perfection of wudu. And also, my dear brothers and sisters, we all want the shafa'a of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is a part of our iman to believe that the Prophet will be given the shafa'a on the day of judgment. Well, how will he recognize me and you? How will he recognize the ummah when we don't have the telltale characteristics of what it means to be a Muslim? Inna ummati ya'tuna ghurran muhajjalina min athari al-wudu. That my ummah shall come on that day shining bright, faces are bright and their limbs are bright from the effects of wudu. And in yet another hadith, beautiful hadith, which is a very profound hadith, and I have commented on it in other classes here at MIC, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw a dream last night. When I saw my Lord in that dream. Now the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah say it is not allowed for any human to see Allah in a wakeful state in this world. However, it is possible for the prophets to see a dream, and in a dream they may speak to Allah directly. How this occurs is beyond our knowledge. But they're not seeing Allah in a wakeful state. And of course, a dream is a different state than a wakeful state. And our Prophet ﷺ mentioned a number of times that I saw my Lord in a dream. رَأَيْتُ رَبِّي الْبَارِحَ. And this is the hadith is in Tirmidhi and is authentic. And my Lord asked me, do you know what the angels are arguing about? Do you know what the angels are debating? And the point of the hadith, the phrasing of the hadith indicates what they are debating means which deeds are the most beloved. Do you know they're having a debate amongst themselves? Now subhanAllah, pause here. What do the angels debate? They don't debate over useless sports or politics or whatnot. They're debating over which deed is the most beloved to Allah. That's what they're interested in. They're interested in what is the thing that will bring a person closest to Allah. That's the debates the angels are having. فِيمَا يَخْتَصِمُ الْمَلَأُ الْأَعْلَى. The highest angels are wondering, what is the best way to come closer to me? So the Prophet said, I do not know what they're debating and what this is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up to him the doors of the unseen in this hadith. It says that I knew everything at that point in time. And then Allah asked me again, what are they debating about? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that fil kaffarat, they're debating about the things that cleanse one of the sins the most. And what are they? He mentioned three things. إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ فَالْمَكْرُوهَاتِ وَالْمَشْيُ عَلَى الْأَقْدَامِ إِلَى الْجَمَاعَاتِ وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَوَاتِ إِلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. He mentioned three things. Three things the angels are considering on the top of the list. And they're debating which of these is number one, which is number two, which is number three. But all three of these are in the top of the list. What was the first thing even that the Prophet ﷺ said? إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ فِالْمَكْرُوهَاتِ. Perfecting your wudu when it is difficult to do so. And this especially applies in the winter months, especially when there was no hot water and the winds were blowing in. You know, the houses of the Sahaba, the houses of the Prophet were not fully, you know, blocked from wind. The doors did not have, they were cracks, they were crevices. They were not completely sealed off the way that our houses are sealed off. And in that, they did not even have hot water. So can you imagine doing wudu in the freezing cold, when the water itself is freezing cold, and doing it perfectly. This is what the hadith indicates. إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ فِي الْمَكْرُوهَاتِ. Perfecting wudu at times of difficulty. Number one. Number two, walking on your feet to the masajid. In another version, walking during the darkness to the masajid. And both are correct. In other words, going for Fajr and Isha in particular, praying Fajr and Isha in the masjid. And then number three, waiting for one salah to the next salah. I.e., you're always eager, when is the next salah coming up? These are the three things that the angels are arguing about. Number one amongst them was perfecting the wudu. And therefore, on the list of deeds that will bring people closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one that came from our Prophet ﷺ and from the angels' mouths is perfecting one's wudu. And beautiful hadith as well that truly demonstrates what wudu will do to a person. Once in the morning, we learned from a hadith in Sunan al-Nasa'i that the Prophet ﷺ at the time of Fajr, he called Bilal. He called Bilal and Bilal came to him. And he said, "Ya Bilal, last night I entered Jannah," once again in a dream. "Last night I entered Jannah and I heard your footsteps there. Tell me, O Bilal, what do you do that allowed you to enter Jannah before me?" Now pause here, this doesn't mean, astaghfirullah, that Bilal is higher than the Prophet ﷺ. It's simply Allah is showing the Prophet ﷺ that Bilal has just done something very beloved. And in this one instance, the Prophet ﷺ heard his feet in Jannah before he entered Jannah. It doesn't mean that Bilal will enter Jannah before him. We learn from the other hadith, the first person to enter Jannah after Adam has been expelled from it will be our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the point of this hadith, again, it's a dream. It's a type of thing that Allah is demonstrating. We're telling him Bilal has done something great. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Bilal, oh Bilal, inni sami'tu khashkhashatan 'alayka fil jannah." I heard the flip-flopping of your feet in Jannah. Tell me, what do you do that has caused you to enter Jannah before me? How could you get there before I was even inside? And Bilal said, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't know, except that the only thing I know is that, number one, I never give the adhan except that I pray 2 rak'ah after it. And number two, I never break my wudu except that I renew it immediately. Two things that I do that maybe because of this, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has blessed me. Number one, I always pray 2 rak'ah every time I give the adhan." Now, how many times does Bilal give the adhan? 5 times a day. Every single time he's giving the adhan. He's the muadhin. So every time he gives the adhan, he will pray 2 rak'ah. And it is sunnah to pray 2 rak'ah between the adhan and the iqamah. And then number two, he said, "The only other thing I can think of, Ya Rasulullah, is that I'm always in the state of wudu. Anytime I break my wudu, I always make it up after that." So subhanallah, Bilal is linking his place in Jannah to being in the state of wudu. Now obviously, these are two things that Bilal said. We have to add here, obviously, Bilal's punishment and torture that he underwent and Bilal's steadfastness, all of this adds obviously to the persona of Bilal. But when Bilal was asked, what did he think of that, what he really expects Allah to reward him for? "I pray extra nafil and I'm always in the state of wudu." My dear brothers and sisters, to conclude the first half of the khutbah, what are some of the benefits of doing wudu? Number one, wudu is half of faith. Half of your iman is dependent on your wudu. Number two, wudu cleanses the sins, so much so that it is possible to be completely purified of your minor sins simply by perfecting wudu. Number three, that wudu will come as a bright decoration, as a hilya on the day of judgment. Wudu will come as a bright decoration. Allah will decorate you. Allah will make you look beautiful and handsome because of your wudu on the day of judgment. Number four, your faces and your limbs, my face and my limbs, will come ghurran muhajjalin from the effects of wudu. Number five, it is of the most noble deeds that even the angels are arguing, and the angels are putting it number one on the list. Number six, it is of one's iman and faith to protect wudu throughout the day and night, and you raise your rank in Islam simply by guarding your wudu. And number seven, it is the only means of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizing us. When the Sahaba asked him, "How will you know your ummah?" What was the one thing that he said? Only one thing. I will recognize them min athar al-wudu, from the effects of wudu. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if these are some, and there are even beyond these, if these are some of the effects of wudu, if these are some of the blessings of wudu, then my question to me and all of you is, how can we ever trivialize this deed? When Allah has placed so many blessings in this one deed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked our iman and our love for Him and our recognizing of the Prophet through it, when all of these things are linked, then how can we possibly trivialize this deed? How can we splish splosh our way in 2 seconds when we stand in front of that sink? My dear brothers and sisters, a little bit of knowledge will affect us for an entire lifetime. When we have narrated simply 5 or 10 hadith, it is impossible after this khutbah, it is impossible to stand in front of that sink and trivialize the wudu that you do when you recognize how much is at stake here. If this is what we benefit by simply talking about the blessings of one deed, how much more will we benefit when we learn the blessings of each and every deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. Barakallahu alaykum fi Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bima fihim al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfiru Allah al-azim li wa lakum wa li sa'il muslimin kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-rahim. استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وتوب إليه استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله أبصرك الجنة وأعوذ بك من النار وما قدرت أن أقول السماء لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد. It is also important before we conclude today's khutbah that we quickly go over some of the basic legal laws pertaining to wudu. And there is no doubt that the fiqh aspects of wudu require a much lengthier class. And we have done an 8-week course here at MIC, as many of you should be aware. We have done a long course just on the fiqh of wudu. Yet at the same time, obviously, for those who are not able to attend, it is important to very briefly summarize some of the things that everybody should be aware of. Wudu, my dear brothers and sisters, is needed primarily for 2 things. Number one, for any salah. Whether it's fard, whether it's nafil, whether it's sunnah, any type of salah, you need to have wudu. And number two, you need it for touching the mushaf, touching the Quran. Not a book of tafsir, not a book of Islam, the actual Quran. You need it to touch the Quran. Wudu is not needed for sajda that is done for tilawa. If you hear somebody reciting Quran, you can fall into sajda without wudu. Wudu is also not needed for sajda of thankfulness. If some good news comes to you, you can fall into sajda as you are. It is not needed because it is not a salah. This is only a sajda. Also, wudu is not needed to recite the Quran. It is needed to touch the Quran. You may recite the Quran from memory. You may recite the Quran without touching the mushaf, without having wudu, not a problem. However, if you want to touch the mushaf, then you should have wudu. Also, wudu is not needed for dua and dhikr. You don't need to have wudu for any dua, for any dhikr. You may make dua and dhikr in any state that you are. Wudu has 7 pillars that you must do, and they're very simple, and you can memorize them easily. The first of these is the pillar for all faith, good deeds, and that is intention. You have to have the intention to do wudu. The second is you wash the face. The third is you wash the hands to the elbows. The fourth is you wipe the head. And the fifth is you wash the feet up until the ankles. These are the organs that you must wash. And the head is wiped, as you know. And this is now 5 arkan. The sixth of them is that it must be done in this order. We don't mess the order up because the Quran mentions this order. And the seventh of them, the seventh pillar of wudu, is that you do all of these in a small amount of time. You don't delay it half an hour, that you go to the sink and wash your face, then you go take a phone call, watch something on TV, then you come back and then you wash your hands. No, it must be done in a small time frame. These are the 7 arkan of wudu. Now, sunnah, of course, is to perfect the wudu beyond this, and that is to wash the hands in the beginning, to do madmada istinshaq, to do and madmada means to gargle, istinshaq means to blow out. All of this is from the sunnah. It's not of the necessary things of wudu. It is also only necessary to wash once, but if you wash 3 times everything, this is sunnah. Other than the wiping, that is only done once. Everything else, it is sunnah to do 3 times, or you can do it twice, or you can do it once, and doing it once is the bare minimum. Also, it is sunnah to mention Allah's name at the beginning by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and it is sunnah to say the dhikr at the end of wudu, as we said in the first half of the khutbah. The wudu is broken by anything that is expelled from the private parts. The wudu is broken by anything that is expelled from the private organs. And it is also broken by a heavy, deep sleep. It is not broken if you just doze off. If you're sitting in your office chair and you just go to sleep, it is not broken. Only a heavy, deep sleep that you lose your consciousness, that is that what breaks the wudu. The wudu is also not broken by vomiting or bleeding. According to the strongest position of the scholars, if you vomit or if you bleed, that does not break the wudu, even though it is better to do wudu just to cleanse yourself, but it does not actually break the wudu. Also, the wudu is not broken if you touch somebody of the opposite gender. If you touch somebody of the opposite gender, it is not broken. It is only broken by the expulsion of a fluid or a gas or a wind from the private organs. This is really the primary element that breaks the wudu. It is authentically narrated, Aisha herself narrated, that sometimes the Prophet would kiss me, يقبلني, then he would go and pray without doing wudu. So she's telling us it does not break the wudu merely to touch a woman. And even if you're not supposed to touch a woman, and it is my position that it is makruh to shake hands with the opposite gender of non-mahrams, it should be avoided. But suppose you do it in your office, suppose that does happen, it is not good, but you did not break the wudu by merely touching. It doesn't break the wudu, even though it is better to avoid. And there is a big controversy over touching one's private organ. If you touch your own private organ, does that break the wudu or not? And the evidences really are ambiguous in this regard. And in my humble opinion, it is safer to do wudu, but it does not break the wudu if you touch your own organ, but it is safer to do wudu. Also realize, my dear brothers and sisters, there's a general rule in fiqh, and that is certainty is not lifted up because of doubt. Al-yaqinu la yazulu bishak. And the meaning of this is, if you're unsure, do you have wudu or not? You think, what am I certain about? What am I certain about? If you remember positively making wudu at 2 o'clock, and it is now 3 o'clock, and you're unsure did you break wudu or not, but you're sure you did wudu, then you base your state on what you're sure about, which is that you did wudu at 2 o'clock. And if you're unsure, you discard the unsurety, because religion is based upon certainty. The opposite also applies. You're certain that you went to the restroom at 3 o'clock, but you're not sure it's 4 o'clock now. Did I do wudu that time or not? I remember going to the bathroom, but I'm not sure did I do wudu or not. In this case, al-yaqinu la yazulu bishak, you base it on certainty, and certainty is you broke your wudu. So whatever you're certain about, you brace your religion and your state on that, and you discard that which is uncertain. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I conclude by reminding you of one more hadith that we did not discuss in the first part of the khutbah, and it demonstrates the importance of perfecting the wudu. And this hadith is perhaps the most common hadith about wudu. It is narrated in at least 12 different versions just in Bukhari alone. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man who was doing wudu, and when he finished doing wudu, the back of his foot was still dry. And that is because in those days they would do wudu sitting down, and the foot would be put on the sand. The back of the foot, you put it on the sand, then you wash the top of the feet. Like in our times, we put the foot in the sink. In those days, they would put the foot on the sand. So he finished doing wudu, then he takes his foot and stands up, and clearly the back of the foot has not been washed. So our Prophet ﷺ said, وَيْلٌ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Woe to the fire of hell touching the backs of the feet. And this hadith demonstrates, my dear brothers and sisters, that being careless in wudu might bring about punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It demonstrates perfecting wudu guarantees Jannah. Because if you're going to possibly go to Jahannam for not doing wudu, what does that mean? It means if you do wudu, you will be going to Jannah. And it also demonstrates, my dear brothers and sisters, that Jannah and Naar are linked to our rituals and worship. Wudu is the key to salah, and salah is the key to Jannah. Wudu is the key to salah, and salah is the key to Jannah. The one who perfects his wudu will automatically be carving away directly for him for Jannah. And the one who does not perfect his wudu, subhanAllah, if our Prophet ﷺ threatened the person who was careless with wudu, you might be punished. Then how about the one who hardly does wudu? What will be the one who does wudu once a year, once a month, once a week? What will be the status of the one who is not addicted to the purity of the wudu? How do you think that person will ever be saved from the fire? How do you think the Prophet ﷺ will ever recognize such a person? My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we thank Allah for having blessed us with such a ritual that our Prophet ﷺ can recognize us with. We thank Allah that such a simple routine, which is in fact good for us, it's healthy for us, it's hygienic for us. We thank Allah that so many blessings are linked to such a simple ritual that takes barely 2 minutes every time we do it. What a beautiful religion Allah has given us. As Allah has says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ وَطَهِرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Speaking to the Prophet's family and indirectly to all of us, Allah wants to purify you. Allah wants to cleanse you. And this is of the goals of the Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who understand those goals. اللهم إني داعٍ فأمنوا. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله نفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.